You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And I want to thank you for joining us today. Topic of today is going to be World Liberty Trust. There's a reason for that, because there are a lot of interesting things that are going on there. And I just wanted to take this time on the show to go over what's going on with the World Liberty Trust Company. And their in-house USD1 and everything else. You know, recently, World Liberty Financial, they received a preliminary conditional approval from the U.S. Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, the OCC, for a national bank charter. Now, is that out of the realm of things? No. You have Circle, you have, you know, Coinbase, you have other organizations that are pursuing it, so this shouldn't seem abnormal. People are seeing this as abnormal because of what is going on with World Liberty, right, in general. And I'm going to go over that during the show and touch on a few things and give my opinion on it. The scope of this charter, it's a limited purpose national trust bank. What that means is not a traditional commercial bank. It can't take FDIC insured deposits. They can't make conventional loans. There are certain things they cannot do. And this was purposely done. And it revolves around stablecoins. Because with that charter, they can issue and redeem USD1. That's their in-house stablecoin. And they can have custody. The custodies that the reserve, the backing of the token, they can hold that. They can hold assets for clients. They can settle payments nationwide under the OCC supervision. So basically, that can make them a remittance company. There's so many things they can do with that, and it opens up the business possibilities. Now, what the, you know, for World Liberty, what the operational shift is, you know, before they had the USD1 issuance and the reserve custody relied on BitGo Bank and Trust as a third party. That's the way they had it. With this charter, guess what? They're doing it themselves. They don't need a third party to do it. Now, does that blur the lines a little bit? Well, I mean, not really, you know, because for them, it should be a cost savings, because they're not paying a third party to custody the assets. And that third party, you know, basically with them holding the assets, they're monetizing it just like any institution would. So for World Liberty, this is a plus. It allows them to go and monetize and do whatever they're doing and generate revenue from it. So it's a good move for them. Now, the conditions and the constraints here, they need the minimum capital there is $20 million with liquidity requirements that are in place. They have to hire qualified internal audit managers, and they have to satisfy all the pre-opening requirements, which I'm sure they have it all covered. You know, they have no lack of advisory. They have no lack of guidance. They have no lack of people looking to help them. You know, high-ranking people. And the OCC retains the right to modify, suspend, or rescind the conditional approval, because it is a conditional approval, meaning they have to go through it and say, hey, we got it all done, and we are adhering to the regulations, and we're doing all this stuff, and we're good. And then that conditional approval, they wind up just being a full-on National Trust Bank. And that's the goal. That's the goal for them. This structure gives World Liberty as a federal... they gives them a federal regulatory wrapper without the full obligations of a commercial bank. So it's really interesting. And again, this is what Coinbase and Circle and other organizations are doing. Essentially, a trust bank rail is purpose-built for stablecoin operations. That's a good thing. Now, the reason, and I'm going to again, I'm going to go through the questions or the concerns that do come up, but before are coming up actually, not for me, but in general. But before I do that, I want to go over, you know, what else is transpiring with World Liberty. They're going to war pretty much with other stablecoin providers. Not in the sense that, hey, they're having a legal battle or anything else like that. No, they're basically going in and looking to grab market share, which is good. You know, whether it be USDC or USDT, they're looking to drive direct competition to USDT, USDC, and USDD, and that has to do with Justin Sun. That, you know, and Justin Sun has a big conflict with World Liberty. If you don't know, he went in, made an investment in the company. He also did other things to try to gain Trump's praise. And look, if you want to, you know, gain a parent's praise, what do? You do something with the kids. So in this case, he figures doing something with his children that he would gain favor with the president of the United States. Now, has that happened? Has that not happened? I can't speak to that. I'm not in the White House. But what I can say, that maybe it didn't work out the way he wanted it to work out. You know, you made an investment and you can't move things around. Maybe that's done purposely. Maybe they don't want things to get slammed. Maybe they're trying to build up as they're doing now and they need the time. You know, and if the liquidity is not there to go and have people, you know, holders move out of these tokens, all that's going to happen, if you have a mass exodus, there's going to be a collapse, and then all these things they're looking to build out collapse right along with it. So, you know, when you get involved in something like this, you have to have a level of patience. You have to understand that there's a lot of growth that's going on and a lot of things that are going to be transpiring that will allow the project and the company to flourish. But you got to let it happen. You know, it's not like some fraudulent things are going on. You know, they're just trying to protect the future of the company. And you can't blame them for doing that. They're actually looking out for the investors. And you can say what you will about what I'm saying. I have no benefit either way, right? So I'm just giving my opinion on what I see from the outside looking in. Now, you know, when you're talking about what's going on with their stablecoin, you know, they basically made a rapid ascent into the top tier of stablecoins, and basically, they're kind of positioned as a politically backed U.S. regulated alternative to offshore or lightly regulated stablecoins like USDC, USDT, and others. And USDT has been long associated with opaque reserve practices and regulatory scrutiny and everything else. You know, so all this stuff is changing. The whole landscape is changing piece by piece, little by little, and you know, you have players that are coming in that are looking to make that change, and this is why you'll see Tether, you know, venturing into other things. Maybe it's data centers or gold or this or that, you know, moving the money where it can actually go and generate revenue. And that's smart, you know, when you have the strong possibility of losing chunks of market share on a global basis. And Justin Sun's ecosystem, they thrive on high yield DeFi, cross-chain liquidity, and aggressive marketing. While World Liberty, well, they're pushing a regulated OCC supervised narrative, and that's in direct contrast to and brand and governance posture from, you know, from what World Liberty is doing and what Justin Sun's ecosystem does. So maybe that is bringing some sort of tension there, you know. But if you're looking at regulated markets, you have to again, you have to give them breathing room to do the things they need to do, and it may take a few years to do it, but if you're in, you have to understand that from the beginning. Too many people think, I'm going to get into this project today, I'm going to sell this in a month, I'm going to make a gazillion dollars. No, if you're aligned with a project, it can take a year, it can take 2 years, it can take 5 years. It all depends on what's happening with the project. But if you're in, you're in. Just hang out and let it build. You planted the seed. You have to let it, you know, come out the ground. And if you don't let that happen, then you wind up killing the whole project. If you're a big player, right? And looks, you know, Justin Sun's model leans heavily into permissionless yield-driven crypto. Again, World Liberty is, you know, looking and seeking explicitly bank charter legitimacy. They want to position you as the one as a state adjacent stablecoin, and with the presidential family backing and federal oversight and so on and so forth, there are a lot of things that are in their favor. You know, in practice, you know, this sets up potential battle for institutional trust. You know, we have, you know, offshore yield versus U.S. regulatory things that are going on. And again, this is just the sharp contrast between World Liberty and Justin Sun's ecosystem. And maybe this is part of the tension. Maybe he's used to making moves quickly. They're not allowing those moves to happen that quickly. So maybe, you know, there has to be some sort of understanding without going to court. Having discussions could help to make things better. It's not like, you know, anyone's starving, right? You know, so it's just one of those things. The market is reading this as a geopolitical and regulatory contest, but it's not. I think that this is all about one party used to having the freedom to move around at will and another party building something up and putting guardrails around it to protect them so that they can build it up. Again, if you're involved in a project, it can take some time to come around, but at the end of the day, it's worth it. You have to be patient. You're not going to get, you may get a lockup period, and if you think that after that lockup period that you're free to do things, you know, if they can prevent negative things from happening, they would. Anyone would, right? You know, it's not like they're doing nothing. It's not like they're pocketing the money and going and buying a yacht or buying half the Bahamas, or doing what FTX did and everything else, you know, so people don't get it twisted. You know, you have, and again, I have no dog in the fight here, right? But I'm looking at this for what it is, and you have World Liberty Financial. They're doing what they need to do to build and grow, and they're going to continue to do it, and they're going to face scrutiny. They're going to get hit with everything under the sun, but they're going to continue to power through. You know, and basically just them being around, it triggered intense debate because they're looking at it like, oh, this is, you know, the Trump family. You know, does that mean that every time someone becomes a president, that their kids that may be highly successful, they can't do business? Maybe you look at it a little closer than you would the other guy, but you can't prevent them from building and growing and creating jobs and creating and innovating and the like. Okay, you know, now the Trump family involvement here with this World Liberty Financial, when it was launched by Trump's three sons. All right, we know this. Trump himself styled as a co-founder emeritus type of thing to give them some clout. And an affiliate of the family owning roughly about, you know, under 40% of the venture. The conditional charter approval was granted by a Trump-appointed comptroller. That's another thing that's coming into question. And is raising questions about, you know, President Trump's influence over bank licensing. Again, you know, should that even come into question? Well, I think that if you're going to look that deeply into World Liberty, you have to look that deeply into Circle and to Coinbase. I'm sorry, they may have their daddy as the president of the United States, but at the end of the day, does that mean that he is forcing the OCC to go and give them anything? They have to go through the same process as anyone else. Now, would they? I think what would happen is that they're going to be looked at a lot closer. So it's going to be harder for them to get it. So for them going this far, you know, should tell you something, that they're on the right track of getting things done. Okay, you know, nepotism, self-dealing, debate, this stuff has come into the conversation. And look, you know, you have, you know, Senator Elizabeth Warren. She is something else, that one. I got to tell you, wow. Okay, it's funny how you have senators and congressmen out there, congresspeople, that they're out there and they're barking about this, that, capitalism and the like and everything else. Everything has to be even. Everyone has to give their money away. Everyone, you know, should be equally, you know, enriched and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, this is America. It's, you know, we're talking about a meritocracy, not a free-range socialist type of thing. When you do that, you're giving people no incentive to fight for what they want. Fight for a better life for themselves and their family. This is why in the heyday of America, the industrial, you know, revolution, you had people fighting. This is why, you know, fighting for growth and fighting for a better life for their families. This is why when you had the gold rush, people were rushing over there to go and change their lives. There was no handouts. There was nothing like that going on. You had to, you ate what you killed, and that was it. But they're looking to change that now, right? They're looking to change it. They want individuals, you know, for them to go and be beholden to the government. And so, I mean, when you're talking about socialism, and I mean, not to get too political here, but when you talk about that, you're talking about the enslavement of people. I don't care what you say, because if you have people that are dependent on the government day in and day out for everything, what happens, the government has too much power and they control the people. They control the people, they control the vote, and they stay in office. And then this is when you have Tammany Hall type of things going on. And this is part of the problem. And it can't be allowed. So going back to Elizabeth Warren, the senator, and other lawmakers, they've called the charter the most brazen act of self-dealing. Is it really? Is it really self-dealing that World Liberty has a national trust charter? Is it? Is it, you know, look, they're saying that, you know, this brazen act is the most brazen act in U.S. financial history. They're arguing that a sitting president's family receiving bank status is an unprecedented conflict of interest. You know, again, it goes back to the thing. Should his kids, you know, that are grown adults that were successful in their own right, should they stop what they're doing? Should Donald Trump Jr. just go and just hang up his hat and stay home and get fat and that's it? And wait till his, you know, his father's not in office before he acts again? Oh, no. You know, should Jared Kushner not be doing the things he's doing? Should all the other Trump kids just sit there and wait with their hands, you know, cuffed? No. Did any other children of any other sitting president, were they forced to sit down and wait? No. It's just that they are more successful than the others were. That's why they're being looked at. Okay? And what Elizabeth Warren introduced was the Ending Presidential Corruption in Banking Act. This is what she put out there. And it was aimed at prohibiting banking approvals involving presidents, vice presidents, members of Congress, or their immediate families. That is so unfair. You're telling me that if you have someone that is a businessman, a woman, and their parent, you know, they're an adult, and their parent is a congressman or a senator, and they're going to go run for president, and this child is actually a grown person and has become successful on Wall Street or banking, now all of a sudden they have to stop what they're doing? You know, this is something else. Because you have critics that are arguing that this blurs the line between public power and private gain, especially given the scale of crypto income reported by Trump from World Liberty and Related Ventures. This is what they're saying. All right, supporters, you know, they frame the charter as running toward regulation. And that's what it's supposed to be. You know, look, the OCC oversight, you know, it's going to outlast the Trump administration. And it's going to impose discipline on whether it be World Liberties USD1 or any other company or stablecoin that's going to come out. This is where the conversation is, you know, gets a little uncomfortable, right? Because you, the president's family owning a federally regulated trust bank, and they can issue billions in stablecoins, it forces the system to confront how much political proximity is acceptable in financial infrastructure. And I say that just because they are the children of the President of the United States, they shouldn't be held to, you know, maybe held a little higher, at a little stricter standard than the normal person, but they shouldn't be scrutinized or crucified for having a successful business and for their parent being the President of the United States. Okay. And look, you know, with World Liberty Trust, you know, their operating model is structurally important for the future of stablecoins in general. And that's where, you know, people, you know, they're not seeing the big picture. Okay, because for them to issue and redeem USD one directly and have custody of their own US dollar reserves is saving them money. They're going to be able to not have a third party involved like they had BitGo, like I said earlier. And they're going to be able to provide digital asset custody. Now, this is going to put them in direct competition with Anchorage. People don't realize that, you know, because they're going to have conversion services for institutional clients like exchanges, market makers, investment firms, and the like. This is where it gets interesting. They're very interesting. Okay, and look, they operate under OCC supervision as a national trust bank, but not under the Bank Holding Act. So it's not an FDIC-insured depository. That changes, that makes things a little different, gives them a little freedom to do stuff. Look, this is a single federal charter and allows them to operate nationwide. It simplifies institutional onboarding and compliance narratives for World Liberty, and it allows them to grow, and it should. It should, you know, and this is going to put other stablecoin systems and providers on notice. It's going to tighten the loop between issuers, reserves, and settlement. And, you know, they're going to be, you know, their USD one, because it's going to be fully in house and under a trust charter, it can be marketed as a higher transparency and regulatory compliant and more comfortable environment compared to offshore or non-bank issuers, you know, like USDT, right? That's what they're alluding to. But it's not just, you know, they're not just another stablecoin issue at this point, okay? And all of everything that's going on with the politically entangled part of it, you know, look, at the end of the day, they're going to be regulated, so they're going to be looking at it again. You know, should someone be punished for having their parent as the President of the United States? You know, some say yes, they should. No, I say no. I say no. All right. And look, I think that there's going to be a further evolution with World Liberty. I just wanted to touch on what they're doing, and I think this is step one. You know, because the deeper you go with this, the more legs it can have for them, and it can continue to grow what they're doing. They get scrutinized because of who's involved. And I wonder if those people, if they weren't involved, would they be scrutinized as much? I would say not. So I guess for them, it's better to take the blows and keep moving forward and keep proving people wrong. But, you know, if we go back to American Gangster with Denzel Washington, this is a great scene where Asante says to Denzel, he says, you know, you have a choice. You can have friends and be unsuccessful, or you can have enemies and be successful. So I'm assuming in this place, they're saying, you know, let's have the enemies, let's be successful, let's make our investors money. You know, granted, you know, things may be in a slump for them, but I do feel with what they're doing, that's going to turn around. It's going to turn around in the near future. Again, these are my opinions, not investment advice or anything. I have nothing to do with World Liberty. We have nothing to do with any of this stuff, you know, but I do look at what's right and wrong. And what is right is what they're trying to do. What is wrong is a scrutiny that revolves around them. All right. Is it a level of jealousy? Is it a level of what? I don't know. But I think we're going to see a lot more coming from World Liberty Financial. I think they're going to have a lot of legs. I think it'll, over time, and I'm not talking about a month, over time, over years, it's going to be very successful. And they may be one of the pillars in the convergence of TradFi and DeFi. And it's going to be very interesting. In the United States, I'm talking. This will wind up trickling overseas, I'm sure, but I'm just talking about here. And that's my input on World Liberty, what's transpiring there, tackling as much as I could tackle on this show. Anyway, again, it's our opinion, my opinion. Do with it what you will. I just wanted to voice it on Money Never Sleeps Radio. And on that note, we've come to the end of the show. So I want to thank you for joining us, being a part of the show, and we will be back with you for another episode of Money Never Sleeps Radio. Until then, I want you to have a fantastic trading day.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Velazquez and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.